is we shouldn't be subsidizing an industry that's causing a climate crisis. We should not be putting federal dollars, public money, our taxpayer dollars, towards an industry that is causing these crises and all of the impacts of climate change that we're seeing. That is an improper use of our public money and our taxpayer dollars. And it's clear that without those sorts of subsidies, the industry would probably be doing a very different thing. And they wouldn't be trying to get some of this really extreme oil out from under the ground.
Over 150 students at Columbia University just yesterday have pledged to engage in civil disobedience unless the university fully divests in $9.2 billion from the top 200 publicly traded fossil fuel companies. Talk about the impact these kinds of actions and demonstrations are having on the industry.
The divestment movement has been an amazing thing to watch over the last few years. When it just started out, the hope and goal of the movement, as I saw it, was to start a conversation about whether our public institutions like universities should be profiting or investing in an industry that's imperiling our future. That conversation has happened in just an amazing way. But even more so, it's actually starting to have an impact on the industry from a financial perspective. The coal industry is just completely reeling from the way in which they are struggling to actually find investors for their projects. They're struggling to maintain their business. They're struggling to stay out of bankruptcy. And one of the reasons that's the case is because so many public institutions and so many entities have been divesting themselves from coal. We're hopeful that that can be the case for all of the fossil fuel industry, because as we move forward, we need to be investing in clean energy and not profiting off of dirty energy.
I've been talking with David Turnbull. He is the campaigns director with Oil Change International. For more information, you can visit their website at priceofoil.org. I'm Robin Ryan, and you're listening to KBOO News.
KBOO Community Radio, along with the International Leonard Peltier Defense Committee and the Jericho Movement, is a proud co-sponsor of Decolonization and Political Prisoners, Thursday, October 29th from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Portland State University Native American Community Center. The evening will focus on U.S.-held political prisoners and decolonizing the prison-industrial complex. Speakers include Chauncey Peltier, son of Leonard Peltier, Kent Ford, founder of Portland Black Panther Party, and father of Patrice Lumumba Ford, and Ajamu Umi of the Portland chapter of the All African People's Revolutionary Party. Again, that's Decolonization and Political Prisoners, Thursday, October 29th from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Portland State University Native American Community Center, located at 710 Southwest Jackson Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The highly publicized deaths of Freddie Gray in Baltimore, Tamir Rice in Cleveland, Sandra Bland in Prairie View, Texas, Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, and so many others, have sparked protests around the nation. Black Lives Matter has grown from a Twitter hashtag to a national movement demanding respect for human and civil rights and calling for greater transparency and police accountability. Rise Up October is a call to action for demonstrations on October 24th to amplify the many forms of resistance against police murder and mass incarceration. To find out more about Rise Up October, we spoke with one of the initiators of that event, Carl Dix. Carl Dix is a founding member and national spokesperson for the Revolutionary Communist Party. He is a co-initiator of Rise Up October with Cornell West. Last weekend, the Cuyahoga County Prosecutor's Office released reports claiming that the shooting death of 12-year-old Tamir Rice by police last November was justified. What do you think about those reports?
I think they're just outrageous. I mean, here they're telling us that police are justified in riding up on a 12-year-old boy sitting by himself in a park, driving their car to within a few feet of him, and gunning him down in less than 2 seconds. The officer who shot him acted so quickly that the car had not even stopped when he fired the shot that killed little Tamir Rice. To say this is justified is to say that police have a right to murder black people. That's just how outright outrageous, unjustified, and illegitimate it is. It's made even worse by the fact that Ohio is an open carry state where right-wing Second Amendment advocates who happen to be white can walk around with real guns and have no hostile interaction with the police, but a black child is reported to maybe have a gun, which turns out to be a toy gun, and he gets shot down immediately because they decide this is a dangerous criminal that we have to take out. No need to investigate, to scope the scene out, ride in and take him down. This is saying that black people got no rights, that police have to respect, and it's a statement, people have to reject this idea that police have that kind of right to murder black people.
Now, those reports have not been presented to the grand jury yet. Meanwhile, there are reports coming out that the authors of those have shown a strong pro-police bias in the past. Do you think the prosecutor here is trying to manipulate the grand jury process in favor of the Cleveland Police Department?
He's greasing the skids for an exoneration of those murdering cops. That's all you can say about this, because he gets these, first he solicits reports from people who he knows have a pro-police bias. Then he releases the reports before presenting them to the grand jury, and obviously trying to create public opinion to justify exonerating the cops. This points to why people have to take independent action to deliver a message that police terror must stop, because the criminal injustice system, because I can't call it a justice system, operates this way almost every time police kill somebody, black and Latino. The cops get exonerated, almost never indicted, and in the few times they get indicted, they almost always get off. That's why Cornel West and I called for Rise Up October, 3 days of powerful resistance to police terror in New York City that will culminate in a massive march with the theme of Stop Police Terror, Which Side Are You On, in New York City on Saturday, October 24th.
There's also, as I understand, a protest planned for Cleveland on October 22nd. Could you tell us more about the Rise Up October actions?
The Rise Up October actions, like I said, were going to be 3 days of powerful resistance. And actually, the first day, October 22nd, is the 20th annual National Day of Protest to Stop Police Brutality. And it's going to be marked with protest rallies around the country. You know, in addition to Cleveland, there's going to be rallies and marches in Minneapolis, in Seattle, and a bunch of other cities that I'm forgetting right now, as well as one here in New York City. Also, the morning of the 22nd in Times Square at 10 o'clock Eastern time, scores of families of people murdered by the police are going to be joined by prominent voices of conscience, clergy, professional people, and others, artists, and we're going to read the names of people murdered by police. That's beginning at 10 o'clock Eastern time. Then on Friday, October 23rd, here in New York City, there is going to be a nonviolent direct action with the focus of shutting down Rikers Island, the largest penal institution in the United States, with 19,000 plus people held there at any one day, two-thirds of whom are only in jail waiting for court hearings or trials because they're too poor to pay the bail that the city has put on them, you know. To debtor's prison, and it has had horror after horror reports issued about, you know, brutality, torture, solitary confinement. People have been held as many as 2 years in solitary confinement in Rikers Island. So we're calling for it to be shut down. And then on October 24th, the Saturday, thousands upon thousands of people are going to descend on New York City from around the country and join with thousands upon thousands of people from the New York City area and take our message of stop police terror, which side are you on, through the streets of Manhattan, beginning from Washington Square Park at 11 a.m.
The Guardian newspaper's project, The Counted, estimates that so far this year, about 903 people in the United States have been killed by police. 13 of those were in Oregon. I should mention that the Umpqua Community College shooter is not among those. And Oregon is one of those states that does not report. In fact, there have been efforts by some federal agencies to count police killings, but they have consistently underreported the actual number by huge amounts, at least partly because very few law enforcement agencies were reporting these deaths. Could you speculate about why we've put so little effort into recording and reporting on killings by police?
Well, the reason for that is when people see the sheer number of them, begin to get an idea of the circumstances of them, it begins to bring out to them that the ones that they hear about are not isolated incidents. You know, you hear about Tamir Rice, you hear about Michael Brown, you hear about Eric Garner, but there are hundreds of others that you don't hear about. And knowing about that can begin to strip bare the illegitimacy of the way that police forces are unleashed to operate, especially in Black and Latino communities and in poor communities in general, like occupying armies, instilling terror on the people that live there. So we're acting through this Rise Up October, through bringing 100 families of people killed by police to New York City, through reading the names, to bring out to people, this is what's being done. You can no longer act as if you don't know about it. It's now being recorded on video, so you can often wake up in the morning and see, by going online, somebody who's been murdered by the police and actually watch the murder in progress or the brutality, because there's also a lot of videos of people brutally beaten, like a Washington, D.C. college student was beaten and arrested by police because the white couple that was in front of him in line at the ATM felt uncomfortable and called 911. So this young Black man who was waiting to draw $35 out of his own account ends up being set upon by police, beaten down and cuffed and taken to the station. People now, if people knew how widespread this kind of brutality and even murder was, they'd be more challenged to stop sitting on the sidelines, stop accepting the justifications of this is just an example of police doing legitimate law enforcement work and seeing that it's brutality and murder, and that their silence and inaction is saying it's okay for it to continue. And that's a challenge we're putting to people through Rise Up October. That's why the theme is Stop Police Terror. Which side are you on? Because there is no neutrality when horrors like this are being perpetrated on people. You're either on the side of acting to stop it, or it's okay with you for it to continue to go on. And people who want to know whether they need to get on the side of acting to stop it and how to do that can go to the website riseupoctober.org, or they could give us a call at area code 646-709-1961.
You were one of the initiators of the October 22nd Coalition Against Police Brutality back in 96. So you
yes.
know the history of of these actions. Could you tell us what sparked this, and tell us something about the history for the last 20 years?
What motivated us to form the October 22nd Coalition back in 1996 was the fact that we could see that there was a nationwide problem of police brutalizing and even murdering people and getting away with it, and that while it was important to fight in the local areas to deal with this problem, it was also important to recognize it as a national problem and begin to organize and build resistance on that basis. That's why we formed the October 22nd Coalition. The reason we, Cornell West and I, went for Rise Up October this year is that we had seen the inspiring surge of protests in the wake of the murder of Michael Brown in Ferguson, but we had also seen the authorities trying to suppress that protest. And we felt it was very necessary for people to come back out into the streets in a movement of resistance to police terror, a fighting movement, not one that was looking for which presidential candidate was going to do something for us about this problem, because we've tried that many times before, and the movement gets taken out of the streets and taken to the cleaners. So we saw the need to bring that resistance back out in even greater numbers with even greater determination. And it was important at a turning point like this, when where there were attempts to suppress that inspiring movement, that we had to come back out, come out even stronger.
Now, are any closing thoughts, any questions that I haven't asked that I should have?
The only thing that I'd want to do, I think we've been thorough here. I'd like to give the contact information again. People can get in touch, find out information, find out how to get involved, find out how to contribute to making this Rise Up October as powerful as possible by going to the website riseupoctober.org or the website of the Stop Mass Incarceration Network. That's stopmassincarceration.net. Or they can give us a call if they want to go old school, at area code 646-709-1961.
Mr. Dix, I wish you all the best luck. I'm sure that all our listeners will be hoping to get involved. Again,